Well, as ever, it's a highlight of my week to sit with you for our lunchtime practice midweek and to continue our ongoing exploration of what I have been calling embodied equanimity, for lack of a better label. And so let's begin with practice together, and then we'll deepen our exploration. So, gifting yourself the opportunity to nest in, whatever that looks like for you in this moment. Whatever might be most nurturing and supportive. Maybe beginning with a few slightly deeper breaths, just to remind yourself that you have a body and that you're here. The gathering and grounding process of our practice is something not to be rushed. You know, we don't have to be in a hurry to arrive. The very act of slowing down and allowing space to settle incrementally is a manifestation of this practice of mindful, compassionate presence. So often the how we practice is more important than the what we practice. So, gifting yourself a soft, slow landing in this moment. Resting into the support, the solidity, the stability of touch points. And as you potentially begin to inhabit the body a little more fully, you might kindly check in with the body by sweeping your awareness through the body in a slow and connected body scan. Maybe beginning at the crown of the head and allowing the warm sunbeam of your awareness to melt down and over and through each part of the body in turn. Taking care to pause and breathe with any of the places that might be holding a measure of tension or tightness. Inviting a softening at the eyes, relaxing through the muscles of the face and jaw. Often there's so much tension that accumulates in all these muscles around the thinking zone of the body. So intentionally allowing the face to rest, to release. Opening through the throat. Inviting shoulder blades to melt away from the ears. So that arms can rest at ease, hands and palms soft and open, tuning in to see if there's any holding in the belly or limitation in the diaphragm, and seeing if these muscles of the torso can loosen and lengthen. Both on the front body and the back body. Settling more firmly into your seat. Relaxing through the hip joints. Letting go of any unnecessary energy of preparation or bracing that might be in the legs. Letting the whole body rest. Letting the movements in the body be very subtle, a allowing for an experience of relative stillness, offering the mind some place to rest. So that even the thinking muscle might begin to relax. And perhaps gathering your awareness to a place in the body where the breath can be fully experienced, perhaps at the nostrils, or in the expansion and release of the rib cage, the movement of the abdomen. Or maybe a more expanded sense of the breath moving through the whole body. Just somehow, in whatever way feels easeful and enjoyable, making contact with this felt sense of the flow of the breath. Letting the felt sense of the breath be the place you can begin again each time your mind wanders. letting each time you come back to the breath be an opportunity to become more intimate with the breath, to bring a fresh interest, a curiosity, to experience the breath fully in this moment. Maybe there's a sense of ease or enjoyment, something pleasant in the way the breath fills the body, expands the lungs. Maybe there's just a little bit of tension or effort in the exhalation, pushing the breath out. Or maybe a bit of a holding on at the top of the inhalation, a reluctance to let the breath go. So not getting caught up in thinking about these things, but being curious about the subtleties, the details of each breath, perhaps discovering something new, something fresh.
Come here. Come here. What is it? Come here. Come here. And in those moments when you lose sight of the breath, maybe it's the ordinariness or the steadiness or the rhythm of the breath that leads to its elusiveness or invisibility. So, enlivening your attention and coming back to the breath with fresh curiosity. What's this next breath like? This one, right here. Bringing the fullness of your awareness as best you can to the full range of experience that might appear in the breath. Aspects of the breath that might be pleasant or peaceful. Elements of the breath that might in some way be unpleasant, uncomfortable, challenging. And dimensions of the breath that may be subtle, that seem hardly worth noticing.
And as we enter the final minutes of our practice today, perhaps reflecting on this experience of pausing, of resting into this moment. Opening to experience just as it is in all of its expressions, pleasant, unpleasant, the more subtle and ordinary. Considering how this capacity might be channeled in the service of creating a quality of welcome for those that you might meet today, quality of welcome that receives the world just as it is. To perhaps allow you to be a safe and friendly harbor for others to experience a sense of happiness, ease, and well-being. May we somehow be a safe harbor for all we meet today. May it be so. And you might let yourself drink in these words with your next inhalation, this wish. And with the next exhalation, beginning to release this practice, perhaps with some gentle movement in the body. And as you gradually return into this space where we're gathered, see if you can bring your body with you. See if you can bring this embodied wish for well-being with you. And when you're ready, opening your eyes, coming back to our group, and and we'll continue our exploration of equanimity. You all look like you could keep practicing for a long time. I just realized nobody can hear me. That's why. So let yourself just take a few moments here as we bring our practice to a close, letting yourself reflect perhaps on the goodness of this capacity to meet the full range of life experience. That which is pleasant and peaceful. That which might be unpleasant or uncomfortable. That which might be more subtle or ordinary. And to consider how this might support you in being a safe harbor for all those you might meet today. Someone who can offer an energy or an experience that would allow for others to know happiness, ease, and well-being. And as you take a slightly deeper breath, and as you gradually release this practice, see if you can bring the energy of this wish and an embodied sense of what you might have accessed in your practice today to bring it with you as we gather back together to explore our topic for today. So it seems you probably had this extended period of silence when somehow my mute button got hit. Who knows how these things happen, but here we are. And I want to continue our exploration on this theme of equanimity as a lived experience, not an idea, not a theory. We've been exploring equanimity periodically throughout this almost year together, and exploring it at times as a specific practice, as in the Brahmaviharas, where we have phrases or images, a way of working with cultivating this quality. And at times we've worked with it more broadly as an energy of citta, of the mind-heart, that is expressed in non-reactive awareness, in this capacity to sit in the midst of life with a sense of steadiness, of balance, of ease. And these past few weeks, as we've explored embodied equanimity, like how do we actually feel equanimity or experience it in our practice, and also sort of bridging into how does equanimity perhaps show up in our lives. And we've been using the breath as a portal into knowing the quality of chitta, of heart, mind, recognizing that tension or changes in the breath often reflect contractions or activity in the mind. So the settling, the stilling offers a reflection of what might be happening in the mind. And last week we added in one of the frameworks for understanding the habits of the mind, the five hindrances. And this week I wanted to add in and look briefly at another framework for working with the habit energies of the mind. Some of you are probably familiar with this, but as with all these teachings, repetition is what reveals the nuance and the subtlety, and what helps these practices and these understandings travel from here, from like our ears and our thinking mind, down into our known lived experience of these. So this framework is what's known as feeling tone. The Pali word in the Buddhist tradition is vedana. Sometimes you hear that. It's V-E-D-A-N-A. And feeling tone is so central to our path to more freedom that in the framework for cultivating or establishing mindfulness that the Buddha brought forward, he had four foundations where we could cultivate our practice of mindfulness, that feeling tone actually got parsed out as its own foundation. We have the body and mind objects and this whole basket that's called sort of, you know, dharma, where things like the hindrances actually are in that basket, and the seven factors of awakening and some of the other elements, the Four Noble Truths, the truth of suffering and the cause of suffering and the freedom from suffering and the path to that freedom. There's a lot of deep teachings in that basket. And then there's this basket where this one thing, feeling tone, got parsed out, and we are told this is really transformative to focus on. So feeling tone is often described as the flavor of experience in any given moment. Pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral, or neither pleasant or unpleasant, are the three flavors. And it arises in every moment, and it comes from a moment of contact. So some experience arises, and it's known by one of our senses, and by consciousness, and then there's this flavor that comes with that moment. And so, an example, we hear birdsong with the ear, the sense gate of the ear, and we know it. Often many of us code that as pleasant. You know, we pull that jar out of the back of the fridge and we open it, and the nose receives that sensation, that experience, and we know it, and it might be really unpleasant because it's been in there for like 4 months. Or, you know, we're sitting here listening to this talk and hands are resting in the lap, and maybe we know that, you know, that sense of touch is known, and it's relatively neutral, you know, it's not super fancy or flashy. So these flavors of experience are always present. We don't always pay attention to them, but they are central, and they are a portal to our freedom, more clarity of mind, because we tend, this flavor of the moment is often what hooks us. So we tend to respond to pleasant things by wanting more. You know, that flavor of greed, it's like, yes, You know, I want more of that. And when it's not so pleasant, we tend to respond with pushing it away with a sense of aversion, like, ugh, don't want that. Or when things are neutral, you know, we often will space out. We don't notice it. You know, those are often like the moments we might lose the breath in our practice. It's like, oh, it's neutral. It's kind of faded into the background. So in these moments of we have a choice. This is where our freedom lies. If we start to tune into this framework that can help us understand habits of mind, so it's not so much that we're trying to just know, oh, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, but it's also a gateway to knowing what comes on the heels of that. Oh, greed, aversion, or spacing out, kind of not knowing. And that choice point is we can just run with our habits, which are often reactive, not necessarily conscious, not necessarily thought out, or we can respond. And so this offers a framework for working with experience that might lead to more equanimity, rather than that tension of reactivity. So, an example, often in the case of pain or discomfort, we get very caught up in the particularities, you know, like, oh, I was reflecting on one of my favorite examples of this is this biology tends to have a lot of motion sickness, and buses in particular are not so good, so I had this one bus ride where I had the awareness to actually work with my nausea using pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. And so the general experience was, oh, this is awful. I can't wait to get off this bus, and I wish that, you know, I felt better. And the truth was I had an hour bus ride. So I started to just watch, you know, like, the moments of unpleasant, unpleasant, unpleasant. And then periodically my awareness would land on something like my hands or my butt on the chair, and it would be like, oh, neutral. And every once in a while I'd have this moment of like, oh, pleasant. You know, my head kind of leaned against the cold window, and I was like, oh, that's pleasant in the middle of all of this unpleasant. And so it's a way of simplifying and not getting so caught up in the stories or the tensions that our mind can really get entangled with. And so the equanimity comes with more ease with unpleasant, more comfort with uncertainty. So these are all potentially good trainings for these times when we're looking for a lived pathway to the experience of more equanimity, stability, or balance. So I'll pause there and gift you a little time in breakout groups with each other before we come back to a final perhaps quote or two to close our time. So so I invite you to savor about 6 minutes with each other, and we'll see you soon. Welcome back. Good to be with you all. I'll just see if there's anything that anybody would like to share in your reflections about Vedana, about this embodied equanimity that we're exploring together. Yeah, it's like sometimes, you know, it can feel so separate what we're doing on, you know, our cushion or when we close our eyes and like the rest of life, but it really is applicable. And so I'm hoping that as we keep unpacking this, we can bring it forward in accessible, realistic ways. Yeah, so I'm glad that landed. Anything else that wants to be expressed before we pause for today with a quote? Ellen. Beautiful. Yeah, so I would invite you to keep playing with these ingredients. In some ways, it's like what we're exploring here is bringing together this recipe for a life that has more equanimity. And so these are all possible ingredients to include in your practice for daily life. It may be that something out of the five hindrances really spoke to you, or something about pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, or it may be this foundational ingredient of the breath that goes in absolutely every recipe that you make with your practice. So this is really a deepening and understanding of how these different ingredients blend or season or inform each other. And you know, this particular practice of Vedana often helps illuminate impermanence, that changing flow moment by moment of experience. And often our suffering comes from the sense that permanence is somehow solid, stable, enduring, like we could put a frame around it and hang it on the wall, and it's not. It's like we're watching the movie that is constantly changing frame by frame. And one of the ways of sort of, you know, labeling those micro moments, like in the example of being nauseated on the bus, is like, oh, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. So you might just see where these might be a support to you in daily life. And pointing to the potential fruits of this practice, I'll close with a quote by Veronica Tugaleva. She says, "Everything changes. The leaves, the weather, the color of your hair, the texture of your skin, the feelings you have today, whether they kill you or enthrall you, won't be the same tomorrow. So let go. Celebrate. Enjoy. Nothing lasts except your decision to celebrate everything, everyone, for the beauty that is there within each moment, each smile, each impermanent flicker of infinity. So, as you perhaps skillfully work with the difficult, may you also taste, you know, the delight in the impermanent flickers of infinity. And next week we'll work with one more framework for exploring embodied equanimity, and then we're going to carry equanimity into a few other places in our practice. So, always a joy to be with you. I wish you a peaceful week that's supported by your practice, and look forward to seeing you hopefully next Wednesday.